Welcome to the Film Florida podcast. I'm John Lux, and I'm the executive director of Film Florida. Today, our guest is Larry Elkin. Larry is the president of Palisades Hudson Financial Group and Palisades Hudson Asset Management. Thanks for joining us on the podcast today, Larry.
Thanks for having me, John.
Most of our podcast interviews include local film commissioners, industry professionals, or someone from a college or university that is directly involved in the industry on a day-to-day basis, but not you. Palisades Hudson is a financial planning company, so let's start there. Tell us about your company in general.
Sure. Some people would call us a personal financial planning firm. Others would call us a multifamily office. But really, what we do is work with people who either have a lot of money or a lot of complexity in their financial affairs, and usually one comes with the other. And we try to help them with a broad range of issues and pull all the different threads of financial planning together. So we help them with their tax planning and with complying with the tax laws. We help them structure their business affairs. In some cases, we help them operate their business affairs. We help them plan their estates. We help them manage their risk through insurance products. Basically, if it touches their money and their financial lives, and often where those points intersect with their personal lives, we take their problems and we make them our problems.
Prior to being a financial planner, you were a journalist. So talk about how did you get from a journalist to a financial planner?
You're right. Back in the age of the dinosaurs, I worked for the Associated Press for 8 years. I had a wonderful experience with them. I covered state legislatures, I covered Congress, I covered federal courts in New York, which meant insider trading cases and mafia trials and all sorts of interesting things. But through it all, and this is a little embarrassing to admit, but through it all, I just kept feeling the lure of the glamour of public accounting. And eventually, I just couldn't resist. I got my MBA while I was working in New York, covering the federal courts. I then went to work for one of the largest accounting firms at the time, Arthur Andersen. I was really much more interested in people and families than I was in corporate work or law or Wall Street work or law firm work per se. So I helped start really the personal financial planning practice at Arthur Andersen and then opened my own firm. Initially, it was just me. About 6 years later, and that was 25 years ago. We just celebrated our 25th anniversary. Through it all, though, actually, one of the things that I learned was that it never felt like I was doing anything different. It turned out that you can take the boy out of journalism, but you can't take journalism out of the boy. I found that really what I was doing was the same process. People would need to know something, so I'd have to identify what it is that they wanted or needed to know. I would have to gather the information to answer the questions that they have asked or didn't know that they should ask. And then I'd have to present it in a clear way so that they could make decisions based on that. To this day, the first thing we give new employees at my firm to read is The Elements of Style, a basic book about good writing written 100 years ago by William Strunk and E.B. White. How we communicate our ideas is really as important or more important than having the ideas themselves.
Now that we have a better understanding of you and your company, make the leap as to why you have a specific interest in the entertainment industry in Florida, and what sort of work do you do within the entertainment industry?
The interest in the entertainment industry in Florida really comes from a broader place of the interest in entertainment or intellectual property generally. Back in the 20th century, wealth was created, and many of our clients came out of industries that produced things, whether they were cars or forest products or utilities, but they made stuff. In the 21st century, most wealth is created through ideas, through intellectual property, and that is at the core what the entertainment industry is about. If you want to help people develop that wealth, apply it in ways that they find productive, create real value, you look to the entertainment industry as part of the broader issue of working with things that are inventions. So we started with the entertainment industry just nationally. Our headquarters is now in Fort Lauderdale. The business started many years ago in the suburbs of New York City, and we still have a significant office in Stamford, Connecticut. But our headquarters is Fort Lauderdale. I'm based here. One of our co-leaders of our entertainment and sports practice, our managing vice president, Shamari Hearn, was the founder of the Fort Lauderdale office, and he's based here. So it's just natural that we're going to be significantly involved in this industry in our home state.
You and I met in early 2017. You had written a blog about the film incentive issue here in the state of Florida, and I reached out to you to have a conversation. What made you write that blog and eventually want to join Film Florida and not just join but be engaged in the operation?
Well, right back to that point about having started as a journalist. Just because I'm not practicing with a publication doesn't mean that I don't write and share my perspectives. And I really felt that I had something possibly useful to say about the politics and the economic position of the industry in Florida at that time. As is well known, the incentive program for the film industry that the state had exhausted its funding, and the legislature at that point was disinclined to provide further funding, and that was seen in a lot of quarters as hostility toward, or at least indifference to, the film industry. And I had a little different take on that, and still do. I felt that it wasn't unreasonable for legislators to feel that in many ways they'd already done more than other states to support the industry as part of a broader effort to give Florida the strong and diverse economy that it actually enjoys today. We don't have a personal income tax. Other states with big incentive programs do, and that gives them a way to recoup some of their incentive money. We get it before they take it in the first place. Other states have higher cost structures. In Florida, a lot of the state's revenue comes from a tax on commercial rents that are paid by businesses of all sizes and all industries. And I felt it was not unreasonable for legislators to ask the question, why does a dentist in Daytona paying commercial rent tax on his practice see some of that money be redistributed as a cash subsidy to a film that's being shot at the other end of the state? I thought that when and if the topic of state-funded incentives is exhausted, that it might be time to turn attention to the private sector, because all the state really does is redistribute money it collects from one place to other places. The state's a middleman. It's, in theory at least, it seemed to me that the middleman could be cut out, that so many industries in Florida benefit from the presence of and exposure provided by film and television and other media, that with the right organization, the right assistance, they could fund such a program directly, either through credits or vouchers for their businesses or through cash. So obvious candidates for that, of course, are hospitality and tourism, but also construction and real estate, because so much of what people see about Florida in the media eventually encourages them to live here. Or step back and take a broader picture. The state has to compete for talent in the scientific field, in the technology field, in the medical field with other states. To the extent that we succeed in attracting top talent in those fields to make their homes in Florida, they will also make their careers largely in Florida. The film industry can contribute to the state's success in that effort. And if and when an organization like Film Florida or some other organization is set up to create and operate a privately funded incentive program, I think that will receive a degree of support on the political side and the legislative side, and I also think it may be more productive and predictable and effective in the long run. So that was what I wrote about in that initial blog that attracted your interest. Mine is very much a minority view. Some might say it's an unrealistic view. Some might say it's a premature view. But if and when there's an opportunity to try to bring together the business community and the financial community to support the industry's presence and growth in the state, I'd like myself and my firm to contribute in any ways that we can.
So the last part of that question, though, was why did you decide to join Film Florida?
Film Florida is a very effective and welcoming organization. It was a way to establish connections and build a network within this industry, within the state, because historically my own firm's background was outside this industry. We have been developing a client base actually surprisingly quickly as we've offered our services and layered industry-specific knowledge on top of the general knowledge we already had. But you invited me to join Film Florida, and I very quickly realized that it was a collection of very intelligent, very welcoming, and collaborative people from all parts of the state, from all parts of the industry, who really do freely exchange ideas, who welcome different perspectives and points of view, and who are all working toward a common goal. They all really want to give people in the media arts, in the media industry, a way to both live and, to the greatest extent possible, work and pursue their own passions here in the state. It was perfectly in sync with what I wanted my organization to do. I wasn't sure exactly in what ways we could contribute, but to the extent that we could, I wanted to be part of that. So I joined after you invited me in the first part of 2017, and the more contact I've had with Film Florida, the more convinced I am that it was a good decision to join and that it's worth as much time and energy as I can allocate to it.
And I know I speak for a lot of people in saying that we're very happy that you did decide to join, and we're very happy to have your insights, because it does come from a completely different perspective, and that is what we need. Taking aside any conversation about private versus public-funded incentives or anything to do with incentives, different perspectives is what's going to help sustain and grow the industry, regardless of what we're talking about specifically. But the different perspective that you bring to it from your past experience is vital to our organization continuing to grow and strengthen. And so we're happy to have you.
Oh, thank you.
Larry, you mentioned the possibility of private funding for a program that would help bring more projects and companies to the state of Florida, and that's not necessarily a new idea within the organization. The challenge that we have continued to have is the execution part of that. A lot of people say they support the industry. It's one thing to support the industry verbally. It's another thing to start collecting enough money to put together a private program in order to compete with some other states. How do you see that part of the execution? How does that turn into more than a concept to having literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, allocated to run this program?
John, let's take a step back and look at how a large film or television project is financed in a simplified to mildly oversimplified way. There are four main components. First of all, somebody puts in equity, right? Somebody is going to own the rights to the final product. Second, there is distribution. The filmmaker or producer who's putting in equity needs to get some money in hand to get the ball rolling. So they go off, and if they can, they sell foreign rights or other distribution rights, in effect getting people who will distribute in markets that they otherwise can't reach to help put in some of the front money. Then they will go looking for incentives. So there are now many governments that offer programs that will pick up some of the costs, in some cases a significant share of the costs of making the production, but there are strings attached. Usually a certain number or percentage of jobs have to be within that government's jurisdiction, or a certain share of the principal photography has to occur in that jurisdiction, or there has to be a certain amount spent, or some combination of those types of factors. So the incentives are in hand, but because of the strings, for the most part, the money's not there the day you start shooting. Money is going to come later, which doesn't help the producer very much. So they need to convert the expectation of those incentives into cash. Sometimes this is done by selling the expected tax credit to some other entity that knows it can use them. Sometimes it's done by going to a bank or other lender and borrowing against the expectation of that future cash receipt. This is called factoring. But this is very, very important in the film production process because the day you start shooting, you've got a whole bunch of people and vendors that need to be paid. So this last part, this factoring of loans or sales, that's called bridge financing. Now let's look at what happens if we tried to move the incentive component of that package to the private sector. We still need equity. Nothing's different. We still need distribution to the extent it can contribute. Nothing is different. Now you've got a privately funded entity that is either going to combine the bridge loan and the incentives and say, okay, we're going to give you a certain amount of cash, for example, and then we'll give you a certain amount of credits. You can use these credits for our participating vendors, for hotels, for supplies, for photography. We're going to defray your budget not by giving you cash that you turn around and spend at list price, but essentially by giving you vouchers to use for Florida vendors. The industries that don't participate directly in film production, let's use real estate as an example, may simply contribute cash. There may be indirect benefits. For example, there can be product placement. If there's going to be a real estate sign in the background, it will be that company's sign, for example. These things are already done in film finance anyway. But you need somebody to pull this together. And ultimately, my theory is that that is a financial institution. It's a bank or an investment bank or a brokerage house that says, you know what, we'd like to get in essentially on the ground floor of this process in Florida. We will provide the financial expertise. We have the financial sales force. We have the client base in the construction industry, in the hospitality industry. We're already working with them. They need capital. So we will ask them to participate in this program. So I think what is going to need to happen is some financial institution or institutions will decide, hey, we see a real business opportunity in assembling this product and helping to attract projects to Florida that would like to be in Florida but which otherwise can't afford to be in Florida and so are going to go elsewhere. They'll do it because it's good business.
It's an interesting theory, and I think at this point we continue to look at all the different options, and there is no bad option to look at this point.
It's a Wall Street question, right? This is what financiers do. Financiers will take a bunch of bad loans and sell them. They'll take bad debts. The debt collector who calls somebody on the phone has bought that thing for pennies on the dollar, right? You can sell films, movies, TVs, YouTubes the same way. So there's that, and there's the fact that, you know, there's, to the extent there's spare capacity, right now we have a boom, so there's less, but to the extent there's spare capacity in construction, in hospitality, in tourism, you know, people want to promote it and fill that spare capacity, and media does that. They're already spending. This just becomes part of the ad budget to an auto nation.
Your focus in the industry is obviously a little bit different than someone that works, you know, on the set, in front of the camera, behind the camera, making video games, those kind of things. But ultimately, we all have the same goal, which is to help the industry be successful. We've talked quite a bit about the large perspective. On a day-to-day perspective, what do you hope that you can add to the industry in order to help it grow and strengthen?
We primarily focus on the individual artist or creator or service provider and their business and their future. So we might work with a songwriter or a recording artist to try to help their music get placed appropriately in films or other media to give them better distribution. We try to help them structure their affairs in ways that are thoughtful and that look ahead to the days when their career changes or their career ends. In many cases, we're dealing with young people who are producing valuable content. They might write a song or write a screenplay, and they're still in their teens. And the value is not knowable immediately, but it may be substantial. So counterintuitive as it might seem, estate planning can become very significant for somebody at a very young age. And we try to make sure that that's properly arranged. They're going to get into marriages, and they need to have their affairs structured so that if the marriage doesn't succeed, it doesn't damage their career unduly. They're going to get into deals, and of course, one of the first priorities is to keep them out of terrible deals, to help them make good, thoughtful deals that build the career that they want to have. So these are all specific things that we try to do with artists that really just grow out of the same things we've been doing for families and individuals in any industry now for me for the past 30 years.
I know you have some entertainment interests outside of Florida as well, so talk a little bit about those.
Yes, we're a national firm. We have offices in Atlanta, in Stamford, in Austin, and Portland, and we've really got clients everywhere, but we take a very national and international view of our work. One of the relationships that I'm very happy with and proud of is a close one we have with the Country Music Hall of Fame in Nashville. They are an outstanding institution run by really wonderful people, and they do excellent work in preserving part of the cultural heritage of this country. They've also been of great help to us in learning that part of the music industry and in making introductions to people that can help us help our clients. So we're very happy to be associated with them. One of our early clients in this field is a young country musician, singer-songwriter by the name of Maddie Wilson, who came out of Utah. She's in Nashville now. We actually met Maddie through another blog post. She'd done a collaboration with another artist back in Utah, produced by Andrew Pulley and his Sapphire Studios, and we met her through that blog post. Drew is also a client. Utah itself is a very rich vein of musical and video production talent, and we've made many connections and drawn clients from there. Madeline Page was a contestant on the sixth season of The Voice, and we get to work with her. Christian Busaith is a comedian, actor, producer, director, and his collaborator Cameron Sawyer, also a film director, are clients of ours, and they are not widely known now, although they've done some excellent work. I'm pretty sure, based on things they have in the pipeline, that they will become more widely known in the future. Here in Florida, we are actually managing the career of a young hip-hop producer by the name of Ethan Reed, who relocated here from Pittsburgh, and we also work with Chaz Meishan, who performs and produces under the name Will Trill. He and his business partner recently co-wrote and worked with an amazingly talented 15-year-old singer out of Miami by the name of Malu Trevejo, and they are based in L.A. but do a lot of their work here in Florida. So we really see ourselves, and I hope to function more as a bridge between these non-Florida performers and creators and the community here in Florida, to the extent that my activity and my firm's activity in Film Florida creates opportunities for these people to come here and do their work. I am very eager to help that process move forward.
And we, of course, appreciate all those efforts to bring additional work here to the state of Florida. So that'll do it for this episode of the Film Florida Podcast. Thanks to Larry Elkin for joining us, and thank you for listening. To learn more about Palisades Hudson Financial Group, visit palisadeshudson.com. That's palisadeshudson.com. For more information about Film Florida, go to filmflorida.org and find our social media pages on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn.